KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. President Obama today took the push for his jobs bill to Ohio, the home state of House Speaker John Boehner.
Do you want to keep tax loopholes for oil companies?
No!
Or do you want to renovate more schools like Fort Hays so that construction workers have jobs again?
The families of two American hikers jailed in Iran for more than 2 years say they are overjoyed that the men may soon be released. Iran's president told NBC today the release could come in a couple of days. The Obama administration says it won't let today's attack on the U.S. Embassy in Kabul affects the U.S. mission in Afghanistan. There are reports that 7 Afghans were killed in that attack. Changes are coming to airport security. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano says children under 12 will no longer have to take off their shoes to go through security, and a different pat-down procedure will be in place for them. Stocks edged up in choppy trading today. The Dow rose 45 points. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
Bologna and peanut butter don't go together. Stripes and plaid don't either. But thanks to the Walgreens brand sale, AA batteries and mouthwash do. Because this week at Walgreens, you can mix, match, and save on thousands of Walgreens and W brand products. Buy one Walgreens or W brand product, get one 50% off. See store or walgreens.com for details. Walgreens, there's a way. Of equal or lesser value, offer not available on products or services submitted for insurance reimbursement. Other exclusions or restrictions may apply. Void where prohibited by law.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Mary Kay. For tonight, you can expect a low around 58 degrees with wind gusts as high as 20 miles per hour with partly cloudy skies. For Wednesday, midweek check-in with mostly sunny skies and a high near 90 and a calm wind becoming west between 5 and 10 miles per hour. And again, wind gusts could get as high as 20 miles per hour. For Wednesday night, mostly clear skies with a low around 57. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
Good afternoon, it's 4:03. I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update brought to you by NAPA. This September, stop into any participating NAPA Auto Parts store or NAPA Auto Care Center and receive up to a $50 mail-in rebate with the purchase of qualifying NAPA brake products. Now on to the roads, and there is a bit of an issue in Redlands. They've been cleaning up a four-car crash on the 10 freeway at Alabama, and things have been backed up to Waterman. That's the 10 eastbound, so watch out for that. Meanwhile, the 10 eastbound in Ontario is slow from Haven to Etiwanda. On the 91 westbound in Riverside, that's slow from the 6215 split to 14th Street. And the 215 southbound is sluggish from Center to Blaine. Currently, 88 degrees in downtown San Bernardino. Up in the high desert, there are a lot of major storms, thunderstorms. So if you're up in that area, definitely watch out for that. In the meantime, we have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino coming up next right here on your home for the Route 66 Rendezvous, AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
Hey folks, Jerry Gussman here. It's a fact the economy is making it very difficult for families to keep up with their financial obligations. This past year, I have helped so many distressed homeowners that were behind on their mortgage payments avoid foreclosure, salvage their credit, and took away all the frustrations of dealing with their bank. If you're behind on your house payments, contact us today for a free consultation at 888-213-4208. Let us help you by providing the right information and guidance to achieve achieve a real solution to your mortgage default. Refinance, loan modification, bankruptcy, short sale can all be alternatives. See which option is best for you. And our services are always free. You never pay anything. Take the first step to securing your family's future. Call me at 888-213-4208 or visit us online at www.thegussmangroup.com. The Gussman Group, where Southern California's premier foreclosure prevention specialists.
Real talk for real people, right here in the Inland Empire. We are 1050 AM KCAA.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm here with Gary, and we're talking about networking. We kind of touched on this last week, but I kind of touched on a number of issues that we didn't really get to, and we're going to go much deeper this time around. Now, just to review what we did last time or what we talked about last time, Gary, what are the main issues when you're networking?
Well, one of the issues we talked about last week was you don't look who can use your product or the service you're trying to get out there, but who is the most likely to actually use that product or service.
Okay, and that's verbally not a big distinction. In real life, it's a huge distinction. And perhaps the better example outside the world of the entrepreneur, if you were to ask anybody who walked down the street, would you like a Chinese restaurant in this mall? Chances are everybody would think, yeah, that's a great idea. Put a Chinese restaurant in here. Okay, but if you were to ask those same people, if there was a Chinese restaurant, would you go there? The answer may be yes, but the actual number of people who went there would be surprisingly small, especially since they hadn't been there before. But that's the problem with our product, or with anybody's product. Everybody is a person who could potentially use your customer. But what you want to find them is when they're salivating and hungry and need it now. Those are the people you bring your product to. Okay, what else did we get to?
You talked about where do you find these people?
That's right. Okay, where are those salivating people? And we don't really need to get into an explanation. I think I just hit on it pretty good with the Chinese restaurant. Who has to have your product, and thus the next game is what?
You have to go out and meet them. You have to find
them.
That's
right. So you know where they are, and you just simply go where they're going to be. And in that approach, if there's money involved, you just try to be sensible about how much money you're spending, because when you're starting a business, every penny counts. And while there will inevitably be waste, you want to keep that as small as possible. All right, well, from my view, the traditional beginning of the subject of networking, bearing in mind the issues that we just mentioned, but ultimately the process is we join a networking organization and then we go to their networking meetings. Okay? But the ball don't stop there. Okay? That's just the beginning. Because presumably, the people in your networking organization are people that can use your product or service. But that's not always the case. Now, for most networking organizations, what they will usually do when they come into contact with you, whether you found them or they found you, is they invite you to come to one of their meetings. And the idea of coming to one of the meetings is so you can, so to speak, like a new swimming pool, you can test the water. See if it fits. Okay? So, Gary, what are the kinds of things that you would look for when you go to a networking meeting in an organization you've never been at before?
Well, you kind of go there to meet the new people there. You go around, try and see if they want what you're offering. You want to see how many people are there, how many people are actually a member of that organization.
That's right. And of those people, how many would actually use your services? See, it's what we talked about before. Everyone can use my product, but who's going to buy my product? Okay, so you start off to see how many people there are. And that is a initial qualifier, because if you've just spent $250 or $300 to join an organization, and then you go to their networking meeting, and there's just 8 or 9 people there. Okay, well, hopefully we're going before we spend any money. But if there's just 8 or 9 people there, is that a meaningful forum for you to do your networking?
Not as good as another place, maybe.
That's right. Okay, now granted, if you're selling to a specific niche of the market, and all of those 8 or 9 people are in that market, then you may have just found heaven. But more likely, when you find 8 or 9 people, on a lucky day, one of them may be the people that want to buy your product. So ultimately, the first qualifier is that you want there to be enough people so that you won't meet everybody in your networking meeting in 2 or 3 days. Okay, this is supposed to be something that takes place over time. Traditionally, Gary, when you join a networking organization, how long is your membership good for?
I'd assume a year.
Yeah, that's right. So if you meet everybody in the first 2 or 3 weeks, okay, hopefully there's a steady stream of new members because your networking is done. If you qualify or get to know these people and none of them are likely to ever use your product, you've got to find another organization. And if you've joined this one, then you probably got to go pay and join another organization. All right. So the other thing, though, is that once you get there, let's say that you're at an organization and at a meeting, and they got between 15 and 25 people, which lower end is a little bit thin. Upper end of that range is actually pretty good. And if there's more than that, it's even better. But the idea is that it's one thing for there to be enough people there, okay? And presumably, if there's 25 or 30 people, then that suggests that there's probably somebody in this group that could someday use your services. Now, remember, we're not here to close a deal today, okay? We're here to make introductions, to make connections with people who could use your product, okay? If you're just trying to sell something today, when does the relationship begin?
Well, it begins and ends. It could begin and end that day because they may not be interested.
That's right, and that was my next question. When does it end? It probably ends today, okay? But when you build a relationship, you build something that's more important than today's sale. And what would that be?
Tomorrow's sale.
Exactly. Okay. So, ideally, we want repeat business. Because something that we probably haven't touched on yet in some of our earlier shows, but it's an important element of somebody who starts a business. I call this the entrepreneurial cycle. Gary, do you remember what that is?
It's, if I were to kind of put it together in my head, it would be kind of like, You're gonna try and succeed, and you're gonna fail, but you need to keep learning from those failures to.
That's another entrepreneurial cycle. But the one that I'm thinking of is: you start your business, you get your customer, you work for your customer, but working for your customer takes all of your time. So while you're working for the customer, you stop marketing, you finish the job for the customer. And now you have nothing, and you start all over again, and you market. And when you have repeat customers, okay, there will be gaps between the first need, the second need, and the third need. But ultimately they will be back. So when you go and return to the marketing phase of trying to sell your product and finding new clients, you are not looking for your first client anymore. You're looking for somebody who is going to supplement the business that you already had. Now, the idea of somebody selling a product or service is that they are not able to support the entire market. They support a niche of it, a bit of the market. Okay? But at the same time, as a provider, you usually cannot service the entire world either, especially on your first day. So you build one step at a time, one stage at a time. Excuse me. As you work for the first customer, you go back to marketing, that first customer comes back, and the marketing may stop, but you may have made some connections that could turn into number two and three, and you're no longer struggling to have a business. You now have a business. Okay? Now, the next thing to think about when you go to your networking meeting is what, Gary?
You want to see if the people who are there, they come and talk to you. They're actually trying to get to you for their product or service and letting you know about their company.
That's right. Well, mostly it's that's part of the game. But the idea is, do you fit in? Are these people you communicate with? Okay. Or are they just people that talk to each other? You're the newcomer, and where you would expect an organization that's trying to promote itself, you would expect people to come and talk to you and get to know you. You're one of the new members. You're part of their group. Now, if there's a group of members who are already there and new members, okay, that's not a functional organization. Everybody's got to be working for everybody else. And that's part of the game of making your significant connection. Okay? You may be there eventually to sell your services. Okay? But by joining the networking organization, okay, who else is selling your services?
Hopefully the organization itself.
And the people you meet. Okay? I'm an accountant. Okay? And I'm hoping when I network that I'm going to be able to sell my accounting services. But if I meet a plumber, I may have approached him selfishly because maybe he needs an accountant. Okay? Well, turns out he don't need an accountant. He's got one already. Okay? No harm, no foul. But when somebody comes to me and tells me they got a plumbing problem, if I've made a reasonable connection with this guy so that he knows about my business and I know about his business, then I'm able to tell people who need what he provides about him. I can make a connection between those two. Okay? And whether the plumber has an accountant or not, if somebody comes to him needing accounting services, okay, he now has a choice. Okay, just because he knows me in the networking organization does not mean that he has to send every person needing an accountant to me. I might hope that that would be the case, but he's got a relationship with his own accountant. So now I'm competing with his accountant for the business that he finds. And that's how it works. But what the game is to be on as many lists as possible. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm here with Gary, and we're talking about networking. You can check us out on our website at takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Okay, from time to time I've mentioned a video offered on the takingyourbusinessseriously.com website. The video is called Taking Your Business Seriously, and it's generally a primer for budding entrepreneurs, but anyone in the earlier stages of a new business could avoid a lot of the typical mistakes that entrepreneurs make in their first business venture. It covers everything from elements of business formation, choosing a consultant, business planning, entity selection, payroll issues, employee relations, getting legal advice, the benefits of an accounting system, and the Capolino Rule of Six. Again, this video is available on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. Also, if you have a question about anything relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us at Gary@TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who's been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
There's a monster under my bed.
There's a monster in my bathtub.
Mine is on my dresser.
There's a monster in the kitchen.
For a child with asthma, it can seem like monsters are everywhere.
There's a monster in my pillow.
There's one on the rug.
The fact is, their next asthma attack could be triggered by something as innocent as a teddy bear or a dripping faucet, even a bath toy.
I don't like monsters.
Fortunately, there are simple ways you can help prevent their next attack. From putting stuffed animals in the freezer to kill dust mites, to drying bath toys and turning on the bathroom fan to prevent mold. They're easy to do, and they're part of a complete plan that could help you put an end to your child's asthma attacks. Learn more at noattacks.org or call 866-NO-ATTACKS.
Make the monsters go away.
Because their next breath is in your hands. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Here's First Lady Michelle Obama and David Murphy of the Texas Rangers for Let's Move.
There are so many fun and easy things we can do to be healthier.
First, set aside an hour a day to get up and play.
Second, play can be anything. Catch, tag, just running around.
Third, eat healthier. It's key to the whole game plan.
Everyone can play. Visit letsmove.gov and get moving.
A message from Let's Move, USDA, the Ad Council, MLB, and the players.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ellen.
One night I was at a bar. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel.
I got a cab.
A squirrel ran across the road. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
We know you're there. We can hear you talking on AM 1050 KCAA.
This is...
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm here with Gary, and we're talking about networking. Okay, in the first part of the show, we talked about networking and networking meetings, and something that I didn't bring up was the subject of the business card. Now, business cards mean different things to different people, but the important thing, from my view, is mostly to make a personal impression on somebody. and then they have your business card so that they have a phone number to go with that personal impression. Okay, there are a lot of people who go to meetings and believe that the game is to just make sure that everybody in that room has your business card. And there are certain circumstances where that works. In fact, a perfect example would be me promoting my radio show. When I go and network at different meetings, the idea is to make sure everyone does get a business card. But it's not so much so that they can call me. The issue is that my business card has my radio show on it. It's got the radio station, and it's got the time of the show. And, of course, what I'm trying to do is not so much get people to call me to use my services, but simply to listen to my radio show. So if they don't have something to remind them of the time and place for the radio show, then it's much more difficult to get them to listen. Okay, but traditionally, my view on business cards is that they supplement a personal relationship that you've started. Okay, because 9 out of 10 times, even when you make a good relationship or a good impression on somebody, okay, they may not remember or know what they did with their card, because business cards get lost very quickly. In fact, I've gone through my collection of business cards, and I find out that I met somebody months or years before I actually got to know them. So that's kind of the double-edged sword. But the fact is, by giving your business card to the people who know you, there are a lot of people who collect them and organize them. So when he turns to somebody in the same organization and says, you know, I don't have Gary's business card, that other person in the organization probably does. And simply because not only does he have his card, but he knows Gary. And that's why he knows he has his card. Because if he doesn't know me, he doesn't know that he even has my card. So one builds on the other. I guess everybody having your business card is a good thing, but it's secondary to everybody getting to know you. And that's something that very nicely can be accomplished over a period of time, like a one-year membership period. Okay, now one of the advantages that comes with certain networking organizations, but not others, is the concept of multiple meetings with different people in multiple locations. Okay, now I joined an organization that was a relative social niche quite a few years ago. And the thing that was really good about this is that they had a dinner meeting every Tuesday and Thursday, but they had chapters throughout Southern California. So over the course of a month, each Tuesday or Thursday, if not and Thursday, I would go to a different meeting with a different group of people that were members of this networking organization. And I'm not talking about a dinner meeting with three or four people. I'm talking about meetings with 25 to 45 people. And this is just a great, great organization for me. And I built my business quite a bit during this particular period. Another organization that's a little bit closer to home is the Greater Riverside Chamber of Commerce. Okay, because, and I assume that this arrangement still exists now, I'm not sure why they would stop it, but because of the size of Riverside, they have what they call the Greater Riverside Chamber of Commerce, and it has a number of separate locations where they have regular networking meetings in different parts of the city. Now, joining the Greater Riverside Chamber of Commerce, you're able to go to each of these different meetings. And again, you're jumping into several different pools of 15 to 25 people. Now, since we're talking about being in Riverside versus the other organization I mentioned that covered all of Southern California, now you're talking about people in your own community. Okay, when I started my business, I was full of enthusiasm and not very hesitant about driving to the end of the world to service a client. Okay, as time has gone on, my clientele has evolved into something more local to where I'm located. And that may be easier for me. But the fact is, it's largely the client preference. Clients in Los Angeles don't really want an accountant that comes all the way from Moreno Valley, because at the lowest level, while it's not an everyday consideration, and it's maybe not even something that I'm thinking of, it's a fact of life. And that is, if I'm going and serving a client in Moreno Valley, what's the cost of servicing that client, Gary?
A lot cheaper than the time it takes to get to Los Angeles.
Right, but since my fees are based on the hours of my service, why would that affect the client?
Well, for if you're driving to Los Angeles, you might charge for gas and the time it takes to actually get there, because it's taking time out of what you could be doing for clients locally.
Right, and even if I don't charge him for gas, in his mind, he's going to expect that somehow he's paying for that gas. And there's an old joke about a dentist who got a new chair, got all the greatest gadgets and latest technology, greatest dentist chair there ever was, and you come out of the meeting and tell your friend about the chair, and he says, "You bought that chair." And that's the assumption, is whether you're paying for it in future fees or past fees, you're paying for that chair. Well, the fact is that the client in Los Angeles is paying for that car ride one way or another, whether it's in the sense that you can't get to Los Angeles as frequently as he needs you to, or you're spending too much time driving and not enough time doing his accounting. Okay? Because a trip to Los Angeles these days, even if you're not driving during rush hour, takes a good 1 to 1.5 hours. And then there's the drive back. And that's 3 hours of billable time that you're wasting in a car. Okay, so the location is important, but that's also the advantage of a large networking organization in our home turf. Okay, now something that the different networking organizations offer, depending on who they are, this is mostly a Chamber of Commerce thing, but it's called mixer hosting, and that is that you have a party on the premises of your business, and this gets the members of the Chamber of Commerce and other people in the community to come physically and see your business. So if you're an auto mechanic and you have a facility to fix cars, okay, this way, obviously, it's not going to be filled with cars when you have the party, but you spruce the place up, you polish the floor, you neatly arrange the tools, and everybody can see, or at least get the impression, that you're a mechanic who knows, you know, who's all set to fix cars, per se. Okay? Or if you're an accountant like me, they can come to your office and see your office. Okay? They no longer see the accountant as the guy who's a little bit disheveled when he comes to the networking meetings and probably works out of his house. Suddenly, the mechanic has separated himself from the backyard accountant. He's a serious business person. And the same thing for the accounting office. Somebody comes to my office for my mixer, and he sees he's not working out of his house, out of his living room, like he was 2 or 3 years ago. He's got an office. And he's got several offices for other employees in his office. And there's a receptionist, and all the things that go with it. It's an excellent opportunity, not just to tell people about your business, but to get them to your business. So they can see it, they can touch it, they can feel it. And while you're hosting the mixer, you are trying to build relationships with every one of these people. But most importantly, now they know where you are. Because when you go shopping, even for an accountant or for a car, okay, what is the key point in getting them to come to your place of business?
They have to know where you are.
That's right. Okay? Now, a lot of us, when we are looking for a provider, we may go to a publication like the Yellow Pages, or maybe even your networking organization has a directory, and being a loyal member of the networking organization, you look for somebody you know, and they may not remember a whole lot about you. Maybe they've met you, maybe they haven't, but they were at your mixer. So when they see the name and they see the address, okay, now they realize, oh yeah, I've been there. And believe me, when you're looking for a new provider, you're much more anxious to work with somebody that at some level you have that familiarity. Okay? They don't live or work in the shady side of town. They're in that office complex over there. Okay? And I've been there. I know where it is. That's much easier. Okay? I spend enough time looking for addresses. It's a lot easier, and it's a lot more natural to go to a place you've been to before. Okay, now there are a lot of things that come with networking organizations that are important. Some of them offer public speaking opportunities. You get to talk at their networking meetings and tell them a little bit more about your business. So instead of working one-on-one for a moment or for a few minutes, you get a chance to go and tell 25 different people, 15 different people, who you are, what you do, and how you can help their business. Okay. Something else when I was looking around today, I saw that I thought was extremely unique. There's a networking organization, and I'm happy to mention them, the Greater Riverside Chamber of Commerce. They actually have a benefit where they will give you the use of their boardroom. Okay. Now, for people who are meeting with a client and don't have an office or their office is in their house, to be able to meet a client in an actual business setting in a boardroom is a very powerful thing. Okay, so that's a very unusual benefit that I saw, but that is really great. Okay, and then the other thing is that you get to sometimes, especially at the Chambers of Commerce, they have committees to kind of work on different things or to cater to specific members of their membership. My favorite one is the home-based business committee, and that they used to work to try to bring more information and more assistance to the home-based business committees, members. But more importantly, whether it's in your networking organization or not, okay, being a volunteer is a very powerful avenue. Because whether it's related to what you do or not, you meet people, and these people get to know you a little bit better. Okay, for me, the activity was baseball. I was the treasurer of the Moreno Valley Youth Federation. And in doing this, it actually gave me a lot more activity and a new vehicle to market my business. And the funny thing is that eventually evolved, not through my connection, but the person knew me. And when somebody else referred me, he never thought of it, but he was very happy. And there was an individual who ran for the city council, and I got to be the treasurer of his committee. And that was a paying job. That's how a lot of treasurers and political committees work. Okay, but it also opened doors for someone who had a construction company, and I was his part-time CFO. And when he first got control of the company from his partners, he was very worried, except for the fact that Gary Capolino was going to take care of it for him. Okay, there was one other example that I can't go as deep into, but the fact is, thinking of starting a business. And if Gary Capolino ain't involved, he ain't starting the business. So these are very gratifying, but these are the benefits of 4 or 5 years involved in the Moreno Valley Youth Federation. Okay, this is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about networking. And when we return, we'll be talking about the CFO and networking, or the part-time CFO's methods of networking. You can call us at 888-909-1050 if you have a question about small business. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who's been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29, and thanks to my college degree, I'm a systems analyst. And the college me would tell you,
I wouldn't be here without big brothers, big sisters. My big brother believed in me, and to a 7-year-old,
that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping big brothers, big sisters help a child. Start something today at bigbrothersbigsisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year, the majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Thousands of people just like you get all the information they need on AM 1050 KCAA Radio.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. And today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about networking. And now we're going to talk about how the part-time CFO does his networking. But before we get into that, I just want to touch on one of my misspeaks in the last segment where I referred to that you can tell the difference between a qualified mechanic and a backyard accountant. Obviously, I meant a backyard mechanic, but the fact is that in my lesser days, I was a backyard mechanic as well. And I've had a couple clients who have always reminded me that not only can I fix their business, but I can fix their car. But that's also come in awfully handy, as I've had a significant client for a number of years who was in the auto recycling business. And it makes a big difference when you can speak knowledgeably about the parts, even from the accountant end. So the fact is, whatever business you get into, everything you've done in your life makes you better at that business. You may not see it or use it every day, but the meaning of being an entrepreneur is building on that life experience and employing or exploiting everything that you have for the benefit of that business to make it as big as you can. All right, let's talk about when I go to a network meeting. Okay, the traditional format that I'm thinking of is a chamber of commerce where I've spent quite a bit of time networking. And the usual format is everybody gets there, say, at about 7:30. That's when the meeting starts. People arrive a few minutes early and usually takes a seat. They get some coffee, they get some cookies or whatever else is being offered, and then they sit down somewhere. Now, in the early days, and that was before I really seemed to be thinking about what I was doing, I would just sit in the middle of nowhere. And that really didn't do me a whole lot of good, because as everybody arrived, they sat where they sat. The fact is, what you should be doing when you enter a place and you don't know anybody, or you know people, but there's somebody there that you don't know, they're probably a new member. Okay? What you should do is sit down with them and get to know them. Okay? Instead of sitting there doing nothing and waiting for the meeting to start, make a connection. Okay? You may not know who this person is or what they do. They may be a potential customer. They may not be a potential customer. But this is one of those things that you got absolutely nothing to lose and plenty to gain. Okay? Remember, we're gathering clients here. Okay? We want to take as many of those people who aren't clients and turn them into clients or turn them into potential clients. If you can't talk to somebody, chances are they can't be your client because there is no connection. We work with people best when we communicate with them. And communication has two meanings here. One is to talk to somebody, but the other is to make that mental connection. So if you can communicate with somebody, they can be your client. And you want to collect these people every day of your life. Okay. Now, the next element of the meeting, once the meeting starts, what they usually do is they make a few announcements, but then they go into what they call their introductions. And what they do is they go around the meeting, and each person stands up and usually introduces themselves by name and probably their business. Now, if there are a lot of people at the meeting, what they will ask is to keep it as brief as you can, and thus you would avoid telling them a whole lot about what your business does. But by telling people the name of your business, people should get an idea of what your business is. And while you have your own line to deliver, as every other person talks, you listen and hear who they are and what their business is. Most importantly, you remember what their business is. Because after everybody does their introductions, there will be another break for everyone to fill their coffee or whatever. And then in the next part of the meeting, somebody will speak. So in this break period, that's your opportunity to go and talk to somebody. So if you were listening to what everybody said in the introductory part of the meeting, you should have identified one, two, or maybe three people that you can talk to. Now, Gary, why would you identify more than one person that you could talk to in the space of 5 minutes or so before the next stage of the meeting comes?
Well, one reason could be because the one person you're looking at, they may be talking to somebody else during that time, or you may talk to them and you may get everything done in a minute and find out they're really not interested, or they have somebody and they might have something else to do, so you can move on to somebody else.
That's right. Okay. You kind of hit that one right on the head. But the fact is, there could be any number of reasons. But the point is, they may not be available. Okay. Now, in the context of talking to them for a minute or so and having gone through everything, sometimes you talk to people and you don't make a connection. Okay? You said what you could say and you kind of got flat yeses and nos. The person wasn't communicative. Well, if that's the case, that's exactly what you have to do. Move on to the next person. Okay? And fortunately, in a larger meeting, you have other options. The other thing is, as he said, depending on what he does, but it could be a situation where he's already talking to somebody. And I've had lots of situations where I wait and wait and wait for them to finish their conversation so I can have my opportunity. Well, what you really should do is move on to the next person and save them for another meeting. Okay, these are not lost opportunities. Additionally, after the speaker speaks and as the meeting progresses, there will be other opportunities to talk to him. So don't just hang on somebody's apron for the whole meeting. Move on to the next person. And at the same time, there may be people who want to talk to you about your business. Okay, obviously those are the people you want to talk to. But these are all the options. And this is what networking is all about. It's only an hour or so. But it's an hour that you do your best. Now, if you make a meaningful connection, and in Riverside, I always remember there was a gentleman who came to me on the first meeting and said, we have this meeting over, and I believe it's at the, it was the Marriott or the Holiday Inn, I'm not sure, but it's up on Market Street. But he says, we have a group of people that every week has come and had some coffee, and you're welcome to join us. And ultimately, I went and got to know five or six people a little bit closer. And as I regularly went to that coffee meeting, new people would come and join them. So it worked very, very well. But that's, again, what networking is all about. Okay. Now, the other thing is, as I was talking about, you are interested in somebody else's business to sell to them. You have to give everybody the opportunity to sell to you, too. If you won't listen to them, they're going to very quickly lose interest in you, unless you're a really, really interesting conversationalist. Okay. And remember, the goal is not to close a sale, but to build a relationship. Okay. Now, the other vehicle that I've used a bit and plan to exploit a little bit more in the future is the trade show or the business show. Okay? And what this is it's a usually on a weekend, usually in a pretty large meeting place, but ultimately people come to exhibit their businesses. Now, a good example of this, I believe we're about to have a Route 66 rendezvous in San Bernardino in the next couple of days. And this usually is tied to a number of things, but ultimately there are groups of people who get together, whether they be people on motorbikes, people with old cars, or whatever it is. It's a event in San Bernardino that brings people together, and the selling takes place. All right, well, a business expo is a little bit different, or the trade show, but usually it's related to a specific industry, or it's related to the subject of small business. And ultimately, at those expos, I like to go and have a booth and market a relatively recently recognized concept in accounting called the part-time CFO. And since it's geared for small business, where my market is geared for small business, this is a perfect match. Okay? But it's more than just being there. What do you do when you're there? One of the things that I'm accused of putting unnecessary importance on, Gary, but what's the big criticism that I get locally about my trade show?
You're too specific on what kind of candy you have there for everyone.
That's right. Okay? But at the last trade show that I did, I can tell you that every person that was at that trade show ate my candy. And that's what it's all about. I got everybody to come to my booth. Okay. And one of the funnier things that has happened since then, 2 years later, I got a phone call out of the blue from somebody who happened to have been at the booth next to me. And while I knew the name of the company that he was with, I didn't remember him until he told me that he was the one that ate all my Baby Ruths. Then I knew who he was. But anyway, as I said, I may take criticism for this, but the fact is, If you got good candy at your booth, you'll get a lot more traffic than just the people who want to know about your business. And one of the funny things about mine, if you look at the video that goes with the radio broadcast on the internet, you can see my banner in the back. It says the part-time CFO, but the lettering that I use sometimes makes that CFO hard to recognize. Now, in today's case, it turns out that the C or the F and the O don't show up in the video. But the fact is that I've always said that about 90% of the world doesn't know what a CFO is, much less a part-time CFO. But that don't matter, because it's the 10% who do know what the part-time part-time CFO is that I want to meet. Okay, the ones who don't know what one is, they don't need one. It's the ones who need one that I need to be talking to. So I don't take that too hard. But a lot of times at the trade shows, what I get is a lot of people who come to me to ask, what's a part-time CFO? Or they'll say, what's a part-time CEO? And I always like to say that when I get promoted, I'll be a part-time CEO. But in either case, the concept is, in my case, get everybody to come to your booth as you can. Get them to know about it. Okay? And then the next thing that you want to do is have something to give each of them. It's not necessarily about giving them a business card or giving them a pamphlet. Have them available so if they are interested, they can take them. Also, when somebody walks by your booth, okay, and they look at you, don't look away. Look at them and say something, okay? But I'm not saying say something stupid just to say something, but try to start a conversation with them, okay? They're looking at you either because you look funny or they're interested in your business or maybe they know you from somewhere else, okay? Work with it, okay? And you never know what will happen. If you're not talking to people, if you're not making connections, you're not building your business, okay? And that's the heart of taking your business seriously. Show them, okay? They may be a little bit casual about your booth and your business, okay? But you ain't casual about it. You see them, they're taking a casual interest in your business, and you step out and you make them take a serious interest in your business, okay? We are not here for our health. We're building a business, okay? 80% of all business startups, according to the old statistic, 80% of all business startups fail in the first 2 years. We don't want that. We want to be successful, okay? And the success that we find is in the clients that we attract. So if somebody is casually interested, make them reach a point where they know definitively whether they can use you or not. You can't help everybody, but give them the information to decide. Okay? Now, when you do meet somebody at a trade show, you don't got time to do their work or discuss their work, but what you have time for is to meet again. All right? Give them your business card, okay? Or give them something that has contact information and encourage them to call you. Or better yet, ask for their business card so you can follow up with a phone call and tell them or and make an appointment or at least follow up to find out what their level of interest was. Maybe they said something like, I might have a need for you. I'm thinking of this or I'm thinking of that. Well, a lot of people who are thinking about a business, and I've seen this a little bit more recently in my own practice, but they think about the business, but then they look at it, and it looks a little bit tougher than they thought it was going to be. And so they put the idea down. A lot of times, you can come up with meaningful solutions that actually make it not so difficult. And then suddenly, the business is on. Okay? It's not the accountant's job to make a business work, but it's part of the game. This has been Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. I'm here with Gary, and we've been talking about networking. And you can check out our website on at takingyourbusinessseriously.com or me email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. My special thanks to Brett, our engineer, and the KCAA radio station. Tune to us next week. We'll once again do our best to take your business to the next level. Thanks for listening.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. The Census Bureau is out with some sobering numbers indicating that nearly one in six Americans is living in poverty. NBC's Chris Jansing.
More than 46 million Americans were living in poverty in 2010. That's more than 15% of American households.
President Obama was in Ohio today pushing for his jobs bill. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the president is daring Republicans to vote against the plan. The families of two American hikers imprisoned in Iran say it's a huge relief to hear that their loved ones may be freed soon. The news came from Iran's president speaking through an interpreter to NBC's Ann Curry.
I think these two persons will be freed in a couple of days.
U.S. officials say Taliban insurgents attacked the American embassy in Kabul today with rocket-propelled grenades and heavy machine guns. Seven Afghans were reported killed. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
Bologna and peanut butter don't go together. Stripes and plaid don't either. But thanks to the Walgreens brand sale, AA batteries and mouthwash do. Because this week at Walgreens, you can mix, match, and save on thousands of Walgreens and W brand products. Buy one Walgreens or W brand product, get one 50% off. See store or walgreens.com for details. Walgreens, there's a way. Of equal or lesser value, offer not available on products or services submitted for insurance reimbursement. Other exclusions or restrictions may apply. Void where prohibited by law.
If you didn't know Autotrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at Autotrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. Autotrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.